Hello. My name is Scooter. Welcome to The Inner Side, produced at KPFT Houston for Free Radio Santa Cruz, RadioForAll.net, LPFM, Micropower, and community radio stations worldwide. And welcome to the conclusion of Mark Twain's Mysterious Stranger.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man.
For as much as a year, Satan continued these visits, but at last he came less often, and then for a long time he didn't come at all. I felt he was losing interest in our tiny world and might at any time abandon these visits entirely. When one day he finally came to me, I was overjoyed, but only for a minute. He had come to say goodbye, he told me, and for the last time. He had invitations and undertakings in other corners of the universe, he said, that would keep him busy for a longer period than I could wait for his return. And you're going away and will not come back anymore? Yes, he said. We have been comrades a while, and it's been pleasant for us both. But I must go now, and we shall not see each other again. In this life, Satan, but in another? We shall meet in another, surely. Then all tranquilly and soberly, he made the strange answer. There is no other. A subtle influence blew upon my spirit from his, bringing with it a vague, dim feeling that the incredible words might be true, even must be true. Have you never suspected this, Theodore? No, how could I? It's true. A gust of thankfulness rose in my heart, but a doubt checked it before it could issue in words. And I said, But we've seen that future life, seen it in actuality, and he stopped me. It was a vision. It had no existence. Life itself is a vision, a dream. It was electrical. I'd had that very thought 1,000 times in my musings. Nothing exists, he went on. All is a dream. God, man, the world, the sun, the moon, the wilderness of stars, a dream. They have no existence. Nothing exists save empty space in you. I? And you are not you. You have no body, no blood, no bones. You're but a thought. I myself have no existence. I am but a dream, your dream, creature of your imagination. In a moment, you'll have realized this. Then you'll banish me from your visions, and I shall dissolve into the nothingness of which you made me. I'm perishing already. I'm falling. I'm passing away. In a little while, you'll be alone in shoreless space, to wander its limitless solitudes without friend or comrade forever. And you'll remain a thought, the only existent thought, and by your nature inextinguishable, indestructible. But I, your poor servant, have revealed you to yourself and set you free. Dream other dreams, and better ones. Strange you shouldn't have expected this years ago, centuries ago, ages ago, for you have existed through all the eternities. Strange indeed that you shouldn't have suspected that your universe and its contents were only visions, fictions. Strange because they are so frankly and hysterically insane, like all dreams. A God who could make good children as easily as bad, yet preferred to make bad ones? Who could have made every one of them happy, yet never made a single happy one? Who made them prize their bitter life, yet stingingly cut it short? Who gave his angels painless lives, yet cursed his other children with biting miseries and maladies of mind and body? A God who mouths justice and invented hell, mouths mercy and invented hell, mouths golden rules and forgiveness multiplied 70 times 7 and invented hell, who mouths morals to other people and has none himself, who frowns upon crime, yet commits them all. A God who created man without invitation, then tries to shuffle the responsibility for man's acts upon man, instead of honorably placing it where it belongs, upon himself. And finally, with altogether divine obtuseness, invites this poor, abused slave to worship him. You perceive now that these things are all impossible, except in a dream. You perceive that they are pure and puerile insanities, the silly creations of an imagination that is not conscious of its freaks. In a word, that they are dream, and you, the maker of it. The dream marks are all there. You should have recognized them. It is true, that which I've revealed to you. There is no God, no universe, no human race, no earthly life, no heaven, no hell. It's a dream, a grotesque and foolish dream. Nothing exists but you, and you're but a thought, a vagrant thought, a useless thought, a homeless thought, wandering, forlorn, among the empty eternities. He vanished and left me appalled, for I knew and realized that all he said was true. This rather solipsistic philosophical literary device brings us to the conclusion of Mark Twain's The Mysterious Stranger, published in 1916, 6 years after Twain's death. This is technically an unfinished work, a sort of compilation of the three different manuscripts that Twain worked on between 1890 and 1910, one of which was a short story, Schoolhouse Hill, set in America, involving Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer's romps with a young Satan. There's a lot of controversy around this publication that boils down to the question of what would Twain have printed, which is an open-ended question, unless you buy into some sort of afterlife, where you may have the opportunity to ask him for yourself sooner than you would probably care to. This tale, from the more involved manuscripts, was set in Aseldorf, Austria. Aseldorf translates into Ass Town, by the way. And all manuscripts ended with the same spooky paragraph. It's up to the reader whether or not Twain is actually promoting solipsism, which would certainly contradict his long humanistic literary tradition and subliminal atheistic suggestions. And you have to take into consideration that in the context of this tale, this explanation for the nature of reality is being given to us by Satan, the trickster. And the story revealed throughout that despite his portrayal in a somewhat positive light, you could only trust his words at your own great peril. As in all works of imagination, one can always adopt the scoop-nisker approach. If you don't like the ending, sit down and write one of your own. A personal observation, I noticed a lot of the episodes in this tale bore remarkable similarities to gospel stories. The magic cat with magical powers of free food like loaves and fishes, and the hanging of the old woman with Satan's twisted "those without sin cast the first stone" response. The story was told in first person by a boy named Fisher, and so on. I hope y'all enjoyed this radio adaptation. We here at The Inner Side will probably be looking at more of Twain's Letters from the Earth in the near future, or for as long as the topic of moral values and the relationship to wretched religious dogma and fundamentalist superstition remain a political diversion for the hideous talking heads and mindless corporate robots who define the parameter of pop media politics and sleight-of-hand propaganda. We now return you to regular Inner Side programming, speaking of the devil and his radio right-wing minions, puppets, and demons. Then we'll finish off with some satire from Hell Pope Huey, originally broadcast on KPFT Houston in 1990. For now, let's check out the latest from former Louisiana State Representative David Duke, goose-stepping with his Aryan brothers over there in Sweden. Stay tuned.
films and songs and all your magazines. It's everywhere that you may go, the devil's radio. It's all across our lives, like a weed it spreads, till nothing else has space to grow. The devil's radio. Oh yeah!
This is David Duke. And this is David Duke, and I'm broadcasting live from Sweden. It's a country representative of our European heritage here. Today I'm in the city of Helsingborg, and I'm interviewing a young activist by the name, well, you can pronounce your name better than I can. What is your name exactly?
Christoph Dahlström.
Okay, Christoph, and we are very happy to have you here. Tell us something, what was the motivation that you had in terms of joining the Nordic Alliance for the preservation of your heritage in your country? What was your primary motivation in the beginning?
I went to school with 95% immigrants.
I mean, now, let me get this straight. You're here in Sweden, a land that for thousands of years has been populated by the Viking people, by the Swedish people, and you're going to a public school, and you went to a public school that was 95% non-Swedish?
Yes.
Or what was the conditions? What was it like in that kind of environment?
It was pretty hard. The immigrants often attacked Swedes, and they rubbed them, and on the schoolyard they smoked marijuana, and it was like Harlem. It was really bad.
Drugs, marijuana.
Yeah.
And violent? Was there much violence?
Very much.
It is really tragic what's happening to our people. I mean, how can people not see what's going on in the Western world? I'm just amazed.
We have a city a couple of miles south. That's a real ghetto, the whole city.
What do you mean a real ghetto? This is Sweden. I mean, this is a hell of a long way from Arabia, from southern Africa, from the Sudan, from God knows where, India. And, of course, that's the future of Sweden.
Yeah.
And these kids are going to grow up and they have a much higher birth rate too. You see a lot of babies in the immigrant section.
Very much.
Well, Muslims, of course, can they have up to four wives, and they as part of their faith, you know, you're supposed to have a lot of children. Now, how many people are in Sweden altogether?
About 9 million, and 1.5 million immigrants.
Do you know how many Arabs and black people there are in the world?
In the whole world?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It's hundreds and hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
And not only is it hundreds of millions, I mean, they have complete control over huge numbers of nations, all the way from Morocco, even south of Morocco, all through northern Africa, through the Middle East, through Iran, Pakistan, even down into India, and even over to Malaysia.
Hmm.
Now, isn't it kind of odd that we would have a situation where this country of 9 million Swedes, you know, that we can't even survive? You're not even going to be allowed to survive in a small... they won't even let you have this small little country of 9 million people preserve your heritage and culture, but these people have hundreds of millions of people. Is this some sort of justice? Is this some sort of fairness in the world? What do you think the biggest problem that you face in terms of organization is?
Well, in Sweden we had a lot of subcultural influence on the movement.
What do you mean subcultural influence?
Well, we had like 95% of the movement was drunk skinheads.
And that's a problem.
One day you'll release yourself, one day stay in for yourself. Get hardcore, replace your hair with just a lift inside your head. Nuts, punks, nuts, punks, nuts, punks.
Find your ring, you
punks, nuts, punks, nuts, punks.
I fire you! Find your pension!
What less you think?
That's a very big problem. The biggest problem.
And you're really getting away from that.
Yeah, it's getting much better.
And it's also got to be a process of educating people. I mean, some of these people who are skinheads are very disillusioned with their country. They're disillusioned with the situation. They've been beaten by these immigrant gangs. Mm. They've had their girlfriends or their wives or their parents suffer from crime. I mean, how many thousands of Swedes have been attacked and murdered, even gang rapes, which were so rare, which I've learned since I've been here. I never imagined that this country would have huge numbers of gang rapes all over your land, a land where that was once almost unknown. This tour here, is a lot of it is done in promotion of my book, Jewish Supremacism. Have you had a chance to read it yet?
I haven't, actually, but I'm going to buy it today. I have had a very poor economy, so...
But you're pretty aware of the Jewish question.
In Sweden, it's very, very hard to bring forward that question because we had parliamentary parties. And if you speak about the Jewish question as a party,
right,
you're digging your own grave.
Yes, you have to be very careful about that.
Yes.
Like a weed it spreads till nothing else has space to grow. The devil's radio.
Good morning. Anyway, welcome back. Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Broadcast excellence all yours. Remember, my friends, I know it looks easy, I know it sounds easy, but this is not something you should try at home. Leave it to the professionals. Of the website, rushlimbaugh.com, and Coco, the webmaster, has just informed me that the op-ed I was discussing in the first part of the show...
And this is David Duke. David Duke.
Rush Limbaugh.
David Duke.
Kristoffer Dahlström.
Okay. David Rush. Duke. Tell us something. What was the motivation that you had?
And immigrants.
The motivation?
Immigrants.
I mean, wait now.
And immigrants. Immigrants.
The Viking people.
Immigrants.
The Viking people.
They smoked Mariana.
Let me get this straight.
Mariana.
Marijuana.
Mariana.
Marijuana.
Mariana.
It is really tragic.
It was like Harlem.
Drugs. Marijuana.
Harlem. It was really bad. It was like...
See, friend, I said, I stopped like, my answer. I said, there you go. Really I say like, something nice about a Republican president, and you frown.
It was really bad.
Well, she was totally taken aback.
And that's real a real ghetto.
What do you mean a real ghetto?
A real ghetto.
What do you mean a real ghetto?
A real ghetto.
The ditto cam, by the way, is...
A real ghetto.
What do you mean a real ghetto?
The ditto cam, by the way... No, I wasn't frowning.
It's a terrible thing. What do you mean a real ghetto in...
A real ghetto.
The ditto cam, by the way...
What's going on?
1.5 million immigrants.
Do you know how many Arabs and black people there are in the world?
In the whole world?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
They have complete control all through Northern Africa.
Down your throat, okay, faster than you can say Michael Savage.
She said, really, you must, I don't do that kind of thing.
Michael Savage.
I wouldn't, that's too obvious.
The Viking people.
And,
the Viking people. How many thousands of Swedes have been attacked?
The immigrants often attacked Swedes.
The Viking people.
And they...
The Viking people.
Rob them and...
Even gang rapes, which were so rare, which I've learned since I've been here.
It's really bad.
The Viking people.
It's really bad.
The Viking people.
It's really bad.
I never imagined that this country would have huge numbers of gang rapes. The Viking people. Gang rapes. The Viking people.
It's really bad.
The Viking people. How many thousands have been attacked?
It's really bad.
The Viking people. Gang rapes. The Viking people. Gang rapes.
It's really bad.
The Viking people.
Yeah.
gang rapes.
The Czechs, the Slovaks,
the Viking people.
The Germans,
gang rapes. The Viking people.
The people of Belgium, the Flemish people.
Gang rapes. The Viking people.
The Dutch people, the English people.
And how many thousands have been attacked? The Viking people. Gang rapes.
French people, I mean, we could go on and on and on.
Gang rapes. The Viking people. Gang rapes. Preservation of your heritage and violence. The Viking people. Violence.
Very much.
Gang rapes. Violence.
He's in the films and songs and all your magazines. It's everywhere that you may go. The Devil's Radio.
Anyway, welcome back. Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. It's back up now in case you missed it.
Several groups have declared war on Michael Savage. You rats! You stinking rats who hide in the sewers! This show is about liberty, it's about free speech. I guarantee you I'll have the Justice Department down your throat faster than you can say Michael Savage. We are going to go on their websites, their 501c3 organization. We are going to find out who is funding them. We're going to find out the names of the organizations that are funding these brown shirt groups.
Hello, this is David Duke. We are a voice for European Americans, wherever they dwell.
But if you try to take away my millstone, the Bible says, it is as though you have killed a man. I'm going to find out where you get your money from. You live by handouts, all of you. You live off grants, all of you. You're a bunch of beggars, but you don't know how lucky you are.
You have to believe that something for nothing can come your way, my friend, because even if it doesn't, if you did believe it, you'll think it did, and that's the miracle of religion.
The Bible says,
it's a miracle, it is a milagro!
The Bible says,
is that part of that spooky religious stuff you guys
have? Yeah, you gotta stop with this spooky religious stuff, man. I mean, they were having a conversation last night on East 127th, you know, the old house over there with the top windows broken out and stuff. I guess it were like 35 people jamming on philosophical rap.
I used to do that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I thank God. I'm surprised I'm still alive.
Well, that's true.
Right. Absolutely.
And make something else out of it.
Well, that's true. There's sort of like those people that are halfway in both worlds. They've got their foot. They got their foot in one foot in heaven and the other in hell.
We had a little bucket of hell and a little bucket of heaven,
so you could put your feet in either one at the same time.
Get a bucket of heaven.
You rats! You stinking rats who hide in the sewers! The Bible says, I'll put you in jail!
Well, you know, some people feel that they have a rule book that they can go by.
Isn't it always
and then
so?
You can go by the rule book. It's still
you may
available.
Pass it.
It's the book to go by.
Yes, and leave wind as you go.
Now, some people are into philosophy. Some people are into religions. Some are into science. These are all false paths.
You've got a little something
for everybody, and you get what you pay for.
Right.
Cheap crap.
You can watch the Philosophy Network on cable. You
wrecks
know?
Your liver.
Yeah. Just you sit there and be ruined.
Sure.
It.
Go ahead and be a philosopher if you want to wreck your life.
Yeah.
The Bible says.
Modern Bible Productions presents Jesus Christ, Air Conditioning Repairman.
Good evening, modern Christians. As you know, this program is designed to put God's wonderful stories in a more realistic, contemporary setting, so the Bible will make better sense to ordinary people like ourselves. Let's all join Jesus on the job right now. Morning, Jesus.
Good morning, Pete. We've got a lot of calls to make, so we may as well get started.
Where to, boss?
Well, we've got a leper over on 19th Avenue who's got a bad compressor.
We're on our way, boss.
Hello? We're here to fix your air conditioning unit, sir.
Oh, you must be Jesus Christ. Please come in.
Where's your compressor?
I don't know.
What's wrong? He's helping us.
Just as I suspected, out of Freon.
I don't think we have enough with us to fill it up, Jesus.
No problem, Pete.
Oh, Jesus, I love it when you multiply the Freon.
Just doing my job, Pete. Let's set the thermostat and be on our way.
Right, boss.
Sir, I want you to keep this set right around 78 degrees so you won't put too much of a strain on it.
I don't think he's getting it, Jesus. Looks like he died while we were outside.
Oh.
What's going on?
Like I was saying, keep the thermostat set at 78 degrees so you won't put too much of a strain on the unit.
Thank you, Jesus.
My pleasure.
We'll return to Jesus Christ, Air Conditioning Repairman, after this short commercial message.
Does this remind you of your last confession?
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been maybe 4 weeks since my last confession. My sins are, I lied. I lied. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's see. I lied. Gee, I can't remember.
Well, there's just no excuse for telling God you can't remember your sins when he knows that the Doherty Pocket Sin Organizer is now available at your favorite store. Hi, this is Jack Thompson. Now, when I'm not playing Jesus Christ Air Conditioning Repairman, I make an occasional mistake myself. That's why I always carry the Doherty Pocket Sin Organizer with me wherever I go. It's small, fits in the palm of my hand, and so easy to use.
Right, Jack. Just press one of the Sin Organizer's 10 buttons, one for each commandment, every time you commit a sin. Let's say you've just thought about jamming your next door neighbor's wife. Simply click number 9 and next confession, you've got it on record.
And I'm really impressed with the convenient memory feature. All I have to do is push recall and the sin organizer displays my lifetime sin tally. Just the thing for quick purgatory computations.
And best of all, Jack, the special hell indicator light may save your soul. That's right, enter a mortal sin and the pulsing red light on the side panel flashes on and stays on as a constant reminder of your dangerous spiritual situation.
Unconscious or dead, accident victims can save the priest a lot of guesswork by carrying and using the Doherty Pocket Sin Organizer. I sure do.
Available now at fine stores everywhere.
We'll return to Jesus Christ Air Conditioning Repairman in just a moment.
Masturbation is a sin. The masturbator murders an average of 25 million potential souls every time he succumbs to this activity. That's equivalent to dropping a hydrogen bomb on Southern California just for a few sick moments of pleasure. To assist our young people in avoiding this wholesale slaughter of billions of human lives annually, the Doherty Corporation is introducing the all-new Doherty Pocket Sex Diverter, a remarkably simple device that plays an effective motivational recording developed especially by leading psychologists from around the world. Thinking about masturbating? Simply click on the Pocket Sex Diverter, listen, and be saved. Only we offer this exclusive radio demonstration.
Think about a nasty girl. Would you like me? I'm really nasty.
Quick, turn on your Doherty Pocket Sex Diverter and listen.
His blood-gorged monster inched forward. This is really going to feel good. The woman squealed oddly as her midsection suddenly became transformed into a commercial ice crusher.
Hello, I'm a girl. I'm fat and sticky.
Hey, I'm marching along, singing a song. I really feel great, don't masturbate. Hey.
Hi, this is Leonard W. Kramer, president of the United States Steel Corporation. I do not masturbate, although I could if I wanted to, I don't. I am the president and chief operating executive of the United States Steel Corporation.
Smart kids don't do it. Leonard W. Kramer doesn't do it either. Remember what God says.
Hey, let's play some ball.
All right,
The Doherty Pocket Sex Diverter works, and God knows it. Don't risk having to explain why you don't have one on Judgment Day. Order your Doherty Pocket Sex Diverter now.
And that was Hell Pope Huey from KPFT's Back in the Day. Music by Bela Fleck, Rolling Stones, The Dead Kennedys, electronic music throughout by AMD, live in Wahlberg, Devil's Radio by George Harrison, no relation, excerpts from the hillbilly heroine Rush, David Duke live from Sweden, have fun at davidduke.com, and whiny little Michael Savage squealing like a buggered swine from the depths of hell. Special thanks to the subgenius Hour of Slack and KPFA's Puzzling Evidence for audio research into contemporary religious fiscal scripture. My name is Scooter. This has been The Inner Side. Thank you for listening. What?